Hi and welcome to the Mount Hamilton Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to this message. For more information, go to mhbc.ca.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. For those of you who are reading it in the Bible, in the pews in front of you, it will start, or it is on page 948. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Aravin. My name is Leanne. I grew up in a church context that often talked about getting the call. Now, how many of you had that experience? I know maybe a few of you did. A few of you had some of that emphasis. Here's what that looked like in my context. I know some of you didn't grow up in church at all, and some of you wouldn't have had this type of context in church. But what it meant was that when we had, like, special events, like if we had, say, like a youth event or like a gathering of our denomination, there was often a time where someone would get up, very much like me, and then they would say, does anyone here today feel the call on their life? And what they meant by that was, do you feel called to be a pastor or a missionary if you were very, very spiritual? And so the answer was, oh, the call was, they'd say, come forward, and we would like to celebrate those of you who today are getting the call. And this is what would happen. And I think of so many times this happened. You know, four or five people maybe would come forward, and we would all cheer and we'd applaud because they had gotten the call from God, and we wanted to encourage them in that. Maybe some of you had those experiences too. Maybe you didn't. Now, admittedly, when I was sitting there in those youth retreats or conventions and they talk about people getting the call, I will be honest and say that I would sit there thinking, not me. That is not on my agenda. And I would be like, glad God hasn't called me. I have other plans. So obviously that changed. And at some point, I did very much feel called to become a pastor. It didn't happen in one moment at a retreat or at an event. Instead, it happened over several years where the path kept narrowing and narrowing and narrowing. All the options kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller of where it was so obvious I was heading that I realized I was on one path and it was the only one I could really take that God had invited me to that would allow me to fully be what God had invited me to do. And I've taken that path with joy for many years now. And so I did eventually get the call, but it didn't look anything like that initial way that that invitation happened, although that happens for some. So when I say this, know that I'm not saying anything is inaccurate about pastors or church leaders feeling called. But I do think there is something very inaccurate about that system and how we would do that and how we'd get up and draw and invite people to come forward if they had the call. And here was the thing I'd probably push back on it now. And what I would push back on that now was the idea that it implied that there's only one type of call, right? There was this language that to be called meant you were called to do a job like mine. When the reality is, we are actually, it's going to come on your screen, all called. That's exactly what this passage says. Aravin read this. We're going to the specific verse today, verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But to each one of you, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. Each one. We're going to talk about that more. This series, which is the teaching times we do over a few weeks, the theme is all call. We're going to be looking at the ways God has gifted us, the ways God has called us, and the way God wants to use us. And we are going to focus on that passage we read already today. And today's sermon is called, None of You is an Appendix. I'll get there later. But I've got some steps before we get there. But I could probably sit down now and somebody be like, I totally know what you're going to say. But first of all, let me explain a bit more about the passage that you just heard read. So the Bible is a book of many books. Some of you know this. And the books have all different genres. And so some of them are like, one of them is a collection of poetry that praises God. Some of them are more like history books. They're historical accounts of what happened in certain eras. And some of them, like this book called Ephesians, were letters. And they were letters that were written to the early Christians right when the church was just starting in the first century, by leaders who we believe were inspired by God, that these are God's words. And these letters were helping them say, here's what it means to be Christians. Here's what it means to follow Jesus. Here's how we're going to live now that we follow the Lord. Now, the last bunch of books in the Bible, most of those are letters. And the title of them usually tell you who received them. Right? So if you look at the book of Romans, any guesses what city got that letter? Rome, right? And so some of them are funny because the cities don't exist anymore. Like some of them were destroyed or people moved out of them. So like Colossians was written to a city called Colossae, which is currently under a big mound in Turkey. There's a sign that says Colossae down, and it's a big mound. And so this one is Ephesians. So we might logically say, well, that was probably written to the ancient city of Ephesus, which you could go visit if you went to Turkey. It's been, no one lives there anymore, but it's being slowly excavated, and we know where the city of Ephesus was. But what's interesting about this book of Ephesians is that while we think of Ephesus might have originally gotten it, it actually has a bit of a different intention. And we actually think that this letter was something called a circular letter. That it may have started in Ephesians, but it was always written with the intentions of being passed around. So it was like the original email forward, or the original viral meme. It was intended to be shared. And so we know this, we think this, because usually when the letters are written, there's lots of personal greetings in them. Like at the end, it's like, tell this person to bring my coat, or say hi to this person. And this letter has hardly any of that. And also it addresses these big, big themes. So why I think it's interesting to remember that Ephesians is this type of letter is that when it was written, the author is picturing every Christian in the known world reading it. That's interesting, right? He's like, this is the thing that I would want every single Christian currently alive to read. So I think that means this is pretty relevant to all of us, as of course all of scriptures, but in a very unique way, it touches on these big themes. And so when you read Ephesians, he talks about how we are called out of darkness into light as God's followers. He talks about how we have been adopted and chosen to be God's children, the author. And then as he goes through all these ideas, he tells us that we are now how we're going to live as a church. And he makes this statement that you've heard, that I already read again. But to each one of you, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then he talks about Jesus. He says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. He's using some references to the Old Testament here. He talks about him ascending and descending. I'm not going to get into that much here, but he's referring to Christ who died and then who came back. Some people debate, does it mean he descended to earth? Does it mean he's descending to hell when he died? All these different questions, but he's talking about Christ is what's important in this context. And he talks about all the gifts he's given us. Before this, he's talking about the unity that we've been called to. He says, you've been called out of darkness into light. And he's speaking to this context where he says, you know, some of you, you know, you came from a background where you were Jewish and you thought you were the only ones called. And now there are people who aren't Jews who are Gentiles. And now there's men and there's women together. And there's people who are slaves that are worshiping next to their very masters. And he says, and you're all going to be one. You're all going to be unified. You're all called to one God, one Lord, one baptism. And then he says, and to each of you, grace has been given. That's interesting. Notice that after he explains all this, we're all one now. We're all together in Christ. He doesn't say, and to some of you, grace has been given. He doesn't say, and to the really talented ones, grace has been given. He doesn't say, to the most educated ones, grace has been given. He doesn't say, to the really special ones, grace has been given. Instead, he says, to each one, grace has been apportioned. And then he explains the gifts they've received. Grace to live into the gifts that God has given each one of you. And so quite simply and clearly, it says, we are all called to serve in God's church. But some of us do struggle to believe that. Some of us push back on that a bit. It doesn't seem always true. And I asked myself this week why it can be a struggle to believe that we are all called, to believe that we're called, to believe that others are all called. And let me share some of my thoughts on that. I think one of the reasons is we think that some gifts are better than others. And we don't necessarily always recognize that we think that, but there's ways that it naturally comes out. And one of them is the example I gave. Come and stand forward if you're called, when really every single one of us should have been able to come forward because we're all called, right, in different ways. And so often when we talk about calling, we do focus on pastors or teachers or people with more public sort of gifts. Sometimes we like to think of the idea of calling as like the more impressive gifts. You know what I mean? Like when I see the three musicians that were up here this morning and every week, I think they are so gifted. I don't know if you've ever been here when Chris, who was leading worship, when we're short an instrument and he plays two at once while singing. And I think, wow, how gifted. Have you ever thought that? When you see someone singing really beautifully or doing something really impressive like that. And we do that in the church. We've all done it. And we propagated that. We say, look how gifted this person is. But how rarely do we use the same language of saying, look how gifted Bruce is, who's at the back right now cleaning up the coffee. We say, thank you, Bruce, for serving. But do we say Bruce is gifted, which he is? That is a gift. To be able to serve others humbly. When people go out and count the money, we don't say, oh, how gifted are the tellers who are indeed very gifted to be willing, first of all, to keep track of all those details. I'm terrible at details. And gifted to give of themselves in that way. But we don't always talk about that in the same way, do we? When I was home a couple of years ago, I grew up in a small town in Newfoundland, for those of you who don't know, and I was visiting my parents and sitting at the church that I grew up in, and it was really cool to be there that Sunday because the whole church had just done a workshop where all of them went and they all had a chance to learn about the individual gifts that they had, and then the pastor, she was preaching on sort of the collective gifts that the church had. And she was saying, like, these are the biggest gifts we had in our church and so on. And saying, you know, how does that mean God wants to use us? I thought it was really great. So when I got home, I said, Mom, what gifts did you have? What did you discover that you had? She said, oh, I don't have any. And I said, did you do the workshop? She said, yeah, I don't have any. I said, well, of course you have some. She goes, well, I didn't have any good ones. Now, you know what she's saying. I was like, what'd you have? She said, I had hospitality and I had mercy. And I was like, of course you have those gifts. My mother, who to this day, if you go now to my town in Newfoundland, will make you fish tonight if I send you there. And has done, some of you have done it frequently and has shown people's God love that way. And, you know, I can remember as a little girl before I went to school, I have distinct images of walking with my mom and her saying, we're going to visit so-and-so. You know, their husband died a couple months ago, and I don't know if anyone's visited them for a little while. I think that shaped me quite a lot. That's a gift. I don't have any good ones. I was like, what are the good ones, Mom? She said, well, like preaching and singing. The Bible doesn't even say singing's a spiritual gift. Yet we use that one all the time. And that's how a lot of us feel. So let's talk about what gifts the Bible does talk about. And there's all kinds. And in this passage, it actually gives five broad categories. And we're going to dig quite a bit using these categories this fall. And let me just use these broad categories initially. One is the gift, it says God has called some to be apostles. Now, what's an apostle? We often use the term apostle to mean those early leaders in the church. But I think the term also now means those who continue to lay foundations and call us into new frontiers. People who are like, what is next for us? God has a calling for us. We still need those apostles. Prophets are people who call us back to a grounding in God's ways and God's truth. Prophets are people who are saying, this is how God has invited us to live. This is God's truth in a situation. If we're wondering who a prophet is, in our context, we have business meetings where all our members come. A prophet can be usually identified when we're all having a big discussion, and the person who stands up and says, I've been really praying about this, and I just really think that God is saying this in this situation, and we all go, yeah, you know, they're right. That is so true. That is so true. That is like a prophetic voice. So we're not just talking about someone who's predicting the future. In fact, I think we really dismiss the power of that importance. You can also identify prophets because they share a lot about social justice on their social media pages. And I'm not even kidding, right? The prophets are the ones that are saying, have you heard about this issue? Have we forgotten as Christians who we're supposed to be? The evangelists are the ones that will tell you that you should come to church, and they'll also be like, have you tried the new ice cream place on Concession? It's amazing. They will convince you that you need to go. They will sell it to you. And they can do that with their faith as well. Make you excited about an idea and about Christ and bring people to know God. The pastors aren't just what I'm doing up here. And in fact, many of you have the gift of pastoring. The pastors, the other word we could use, are shepherds. They are the people like my mom in that category. She would have the gift of pastoring, who make people feel welcome, who have the ability to notice when people are sad or hurting. They're the ones that are like, so-and-so's going through a hard time. I should ask them out for coffee. And then there are the teachers who very much do what I'm doing now, who are great at leading small groups, who are great at help us understand God's word. Now, the Bible also in 1 Corinthians, another letter, gives some more details on spiritual gifts, and it uses the image of the church as saying it looks like the body of Christ, which is a great image. And there's a picture here that I used, and I know it's super hokey and cheesy, but it's so perfect. I don't know if you can tell. So it's meant to be Jesus, you know, it's kind of a traditional depiction of Jesus, which I push back on a bit. But notice it's all kinds of different people making up this body, or in this case, a giant robe. But the purpose is to say how we're all part of the body of Christ. And this is what this image says, that some of us are like hands, and some of us are like feet, and some of us are the eyes, meaning that we all have different roles, and we're all needed. And in this passage, it gives these different descriptions of spiritual gifts. And it talks about things here. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, some have the gift of wisdom, others of knowledge, some have the gift of faith, and some of healing. There's doctors and nurses here. Some have powers and others prophecy, the ability to distinguish right from wrong or to speak in tongues. And some of these you will learn more about later, but they are all very different gifts. And notice that they're not just talking about people doing what I do right now. In fact, when these letters were written, what I'm doing didn't even exist. Like the role as a pastor, as we understand it now, developed over the next few hundred years in the church. One author said this: no member of the body of Christ is endowed with such perfection as to be able, without the assistance of other, to meet all their own needs. I'll say it again. No member of the body of Christ is endowed with such perfection as to be able, without the assistance of others, to meet all their own needs. None of us have all the gifts we need on our own. None of us has all the gifts so we can sustain ourselves, and none of us is without gifts, so that we don't have something to offer others. So one reason that we sometimes think, are we really all called, is we have sort of thought that some gifts are better than others. Another is that we haven't always in the church in the last couple centuries made space for certain types of gifts. If I use an example of someone like a prophet or an apostle, remember those roles, what I said they do, they don't always fit in well in the church. Let's take the example of prophets. Even if we go back to the first century, there was a church administration book written in around 100 AD. Isn't that great? We're 100 years in and people are all writing bylaws, basically. And so that in this book, they lay out restrictions for prophets. They say that if a prophet stays at your church more than 3 days, that meant they were false. If they asked for food or money to help them, that also meant they were false. So already the church is restricting this prophetic role. In modern times, actually quite pragmatically what we see is that apostles always end up in the parachurch, right? They say, It doesn't work in the church. I'm just going to have to go start my own homeless shelter or my own youth drop-in or my own, right? And that's often where those people find a place because they don't always amalgamate into churches that function as we do. Because we celebrate teachers and leaders and pastors, but we can forget about those doing different types of works. And those are just some examples and how much we need them. I mean, after all, how will a church move forward without the voice of apostles and prophets calling us to new things, right? Apostles saying, what's next for us? Or prophets who are reminding us, what is God calling us to? We need those voices, right? And if we don't have evangelists continually helping bring people and connect people to us, then we just eventually die out. We need these roles. But sometimes we haven't always celebrated them. We don't put them in our church budget. We don't say, this is how you can serve if you've had those gifts. And I own that we've done that too. And the third reason is we don't always help people understand these gifts. And I've already given an example of this. Sometimes we don't explain well what these gifts are. So the example I already used was that one of pastoring. Because if I say the gift of pastoring, so if I looked right now at Pat and said, you have the gift of pastoring, which she does, I'm almost certain she's going to say, I don't want to be a pastor. Am I right? You're just the first person I saw. But the gift of pastoring isn't what I'm doing. This is a title we've given this role. The gift of pastoring is someone who cares about people's physical, spiritual, and mental needs, which you do very well. And so some of these things, we've distorted. Same as people say, I'm not a prophet, right? I don't go around fortune-telling. But yet if I said, are you someone that's reminding us of how God has called us to live? Well, yeah. Then actually that is a prophetic gift. So sometimes we've misunderstood these and we've balked against them. One of my mentors used to say to me, what is common sense to you is your gift to the world. That is one of my favorite quotes. What is common sense to you is your gift to the world. And so often, like my mom, who's like, I don't have any gifts. I just like go visit these people when they're sad. That doesn't count. And we're going, what a beautiful gift. Because it's so second nature to us that we miss that it might be a gift. And so sometimes we haven't had people help us understand that. But even as we see all these reasons, we struggle to believe that we are all called, that to each one grace has been given. We are all called. Each and every one of you is called and equipped to serve. Each one of you has grace to use the gifts God has given you, which brings me back to the title, None of You is an Appendix. I got there. So, of course, most of us will know that we cannot figure out what the appendix does. How many of you have had your appendix removed? Anyone? And yet, here you are. And so, scientifically, there's an argument that we used to use it for foods, like digesting vegetation that we no longer eat. But ultimately, today, we know, we hope, May's doing good, so that's a good sign. Yeah, you don't have one, and you're doing fine, so I think we're all going to be okay without it. So I think, historically, we know that if you remove your appendix, you're going to be just fine. And some of us kind of think we're like the appendix, right? We think, if I wasn't here, it wouldn't matter, right? No one really needs me. If I was gone, it wouldn't make a difference, unless I rupture and cause a big fuss. Then everyone will notice. That's what appendix do, too. But took a minute there. I don't recommend that. Because the reality is none of you works like the appendix in the body of Christ. Every single one of you is needed. You are all gifted. You are all important. You would all be missed. And the church is lesser when we're not all using our gifts. Now, while we know some of us are an appendix, the reality is some of us kind of want to live like appendix. Like some of us are like, I don't want to, but I feel like I'm. And some of us are like, I just kind of want to be an appendix for a while. I want to come, I want to sit, I want to leave, I don't really want to do anything. And there might be reasons for that. Maybe we've been burned in ministry and we need a break. Maybe we're going through a season of illness or a season of loss and doing things are difficult. Often we are busy. I'm in that phase of life too. We have kids. Maybe we have two people working full-time in our household or we're single parents. And to do something else just feels like such a burden. And so we're like, I'll just be an appendix for a little while, thanks. But none of us is an appendix. And we also need to challenge ourselves to realize that when we're part of a church, we need to live into the ways we are called and use our gifts well. But that can look like different things in different seasons. So let me acknowledge this. I'm not saying to those of you little kids at home, overwhelmed and exhausted, get out to more meetings, do all these things. But I am saying there are other things you could do. You could say, you know what, during this season, I'm going to pick 4 people to pray for every day. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing to do? Let them know I'm praying for them. You could say, you know, I can't do much, but I can come 10 minutes early and hand out bulletins. That's even a little bit more. You could say, I'm going to make sure when I'm here on Sunday to smile at people, say hello, welcome anyone who's new. There's always things we can do, even in seasons where we feel like we don't have a lot of time, because none of us is an appendix. And to be honest, which is what I truly, deeply believe, is that God in this space has given us enough, absolutely enough. There is absolutely nothing God is going to call us to that God's going to be like, oh, shoot, I called you to it, but then I didn't give you anyone with the gifts to do it, my bad. Like, it doesn't work that way. God, everything God calls us to, God has given us in this space to do exactly what we need. And I'm not talking about volunteers. I actually don't like the word volunteering in church. We're not volunteers here. We're servants. We're servants of God using our gifts to honor God. And when we do that, I truly, truly believe that we can be everything God wants us to be. You know, it is an amazing thing when someone is serving in their gifts, not just serving because they feel guilty or because a job needs to be done. And to be clear, there are times we just need to help because it needs to be done. I hate stacking chairs. Sometimes chairs need to be stacked, and I help because we love each other and we're the body of Christ. But there's also things that when where we give our heart and energy are to the things where we are deeply called. And I was so reminded of this spring. It happened a couple times in a row. But the one that really stood out to me, Ruth Ann, forgive me. I did not ask you if I could share this story. I hope you don't mind. You excited? It's good. It's okay. It's okay. As some of you will know, we are preparing for Leslie Macon's ordination in a couple of weeks, which is really exciting. And so part of that, we wanted to form a group of people that would help with the hospitality for that, would make it look nice, you know, would have the food nice. I was like, I should not be on that. That is so not my gift. And so Bruce, who's helping coordinate that, he asked for a few names. And so one day after church, Ruth Ann comes up to me, and she says to me, this still cracks me up. She goes, can I thank you for something? Can I thank you for asking me to serve on Leslie's hospitality team? I am so honored. That is such a joy to me. And I thought, there it is, right? Because if someone asked me, I'd be like, oh, shoot. I would not be thanking them for asking me to coordinate food. But when we're serving in our gifts, you know what it's like? It's like, oh, thank you, right? This is what I feel called to. This is my gift. I love it. That is how God works. And God will give you those callings, which can just look like you hear something, you go, oh, I could do that. Or you walk by and something's on your mind, you're like, oh, that would be exciting to be part of. And you might think, that doesn't even count as a gift, but what's common sense to you is your gift to the world. And so there will be those things where you can say, that's the thing God has for me, and that brings me so much joy. Thank you, God, for asking me to do that. And I truly believe that when we are all serving in that way, this church will be a very healthy body of Christ. So you are not an appendix. So if you're called today, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you've been listening to the sermon, I'm hoping you're all going to stand. You have all been called. So here's what we would do when people came forward, they were called. We would do this. Let me pray for all of you and your callings. God, thank you for making us all so different and giving us different wonderful gifts. And I pray for those of us who have just thought we don't count and we don't matter and we don't have the good gifts, that you would show us how we are called and use us in a way that brings us joy. And we pray for those who felt burdened to serve and they've thought my only choice is to do nothing, that you can help them find those ways to use those gifts and that you would build us up to be a body that we know that each has been given grace from you, that we may live in unity and show your love and be your light to the world. Amen.